Hi folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here. Hi Teresa, we have a saying that we sometimes use and it is called go find the source. What is it all about? When are we using it? Share with the audience.
Yeah, I like this a lot. There's a lot of context in which this works really well, but I want to talk about it in the context of social media in particular. So it's really easy to come across an article where someone's sharing like, hey, I found this framework, I really like it. And then you read about it and you learn from that person. The problem is if they're not the source, are you learning about the framework the way that it was intended? Now, I'm not saying it is valuable to learn about a person's experience with it. But just like in school, when you read like a review of a study, you still want to go to the source and read the underlying study. I think this concept of go to the original source, like rely on primary sources, is really important in today's
world. These
days? Right?
Yes.
Like everybody is trying to build their personal brand, which is great. They should do that. I think what made this a hot topic for me recently is I'm seeing a lot more people build their personal brand by tearing down other people's ideas, which I already hate. Let's just build off of each other's ideas. But okay, I get it. It's trendy to like knock down the trendy idea. But their criticisms make it clear they don't understand the original idea.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then you come along and you read their criticism and you're like, oh, I can just not use that framework because it's not very good. And you never realize, you never went to the original source. You never realize that that second party or that third party is misrepresenting the concept.
Yeah, and so I have a personal example for that as well. Back in the days, I don't know when it was, I stumbled across a set of OKRs in company back in the days. And it didn't make sense to me at all. So I was really like, okay, why is this helpful? Turns out, half a year later, I was sitting at a conference. Christina Wodke was speaking about OKRs. Finally, she's the author of Radical Focus and one of the big books about OKRs. My favorite book on the topic of OKRs, by the way.
Mine as well.
Okay. So, and then it clicked and I was like, ah, that's how it's intended to work. This is super simple. This is super lean. We can do this on the back of a napkin. It's not a massive process. Yeah, it is a new way of thinking. It will take me some time to convince the rest of the team to work that way. But it didn't require us to buy expensive software or go through expensive training or any of that. And of course, yeah, you could book training with Christina and you can book consultancy with Christina and all this. It all works, but it's all there. It's in the book and it's super cheap to read through it and learn from it. And that was kind of my lesson in, I always want to dig out three books. I always try to dig out the three first books written on the topic. And I try to get some diversity in on whatever diversity scale you can think of to see if I can find books that have a different background, for example, different industry background. It could be different gendered authors or whatever it is. But I try to challenge myself to find sources that come from diverse backgrounds. And then I go read them. And then I'm oftentimes way smarter than I have been before.
You know, okay, there's so much here I want to unpack. I really, like, Christina is not the original source of OKRs, and she will tell you that, right?
Yeah.
But she is a reputable source who has deep experience. And so I think you're raising a subtlety here. And I have a very similar experience with Jobs to be Done. So when I learned about Jobs to be Done, I read people's really superficial blog posts about it, and I didn't quite get it. And I'm like, I'm kind of confused. So I went to the source and I read Clayton Christensen's book.
And I was wondering if it was the video about the milkshake example.
No, I'm a reader, so I read the book.
Okay.
The thing is, the book is very, I'm sorry, I didn't read Clayton Christensen's book. I read Tony Olwick's book. And Tony Olwick's book is like a very heavy consultancy process around jobs to be done. And I was like, wow, okay, I can see why people are taking one skinny element of this. Now, that's great. Like, I'm glad I read the original source, but I actually prefer Bob Molesta's work on jobs to be done.
Yes, me too.
Because Bob has taken, like, this very heavy consultancy research firm process and turned it into a much more pragmatic, okay, here's what people can do. And, like, even my work, I'm not the original source on a lot of, I mean, I am on the opportunity solution tree, but I'm not on customer interviews, and I'm not on, like, a lot of the things I teach in my book. It's not that I made up those methods. It's that I found a way to pragmatically apply them in business.
Yeah, same applies for Strong Product People, right? So that's the same with my book. It's applied science, so to say.
Yeah, and I think this is what Christina did. So I think the origin of OKRs, the way that we know them today, probably started at Andy Grove's Intel, and then was popularized more recently by Google, and then John Doerr was on the board and saw the effect and wrote a book about it. I don't really love John Doerr's book. We might say he's the original source, but I don't think he has pragmatic operator experience. So it's a little more complicated than like who was the originator of the idea. I think it's
But if you go find three books and if you go read three books on a particular topic, then you have a solid idea of where things are coming from, who's quoting whom. So really laying out the land helps a lot.
I think when I talk about go to the source, where did the idea come from? Can we understand that? Who is experienced putting it into practice? What are the diversifying perspectives?
Yes. And I love it. That's a nice and tidy list.
Not everybody's going to read three books on a single topic before they want to use the framework. That's fine. I don't think we have to do that. I think that's a nice way to do it if it's something really important to your work and you're a reader and you want to go that deep. That's me. I'm going to go that deep on a lot of things.
Me too.
We know that most people read like three books a year, if that. So like, I think you could do this with blog posts. So you come across a blog post, introduce an idea. What is there someone who wrote a blog post that originated the idea? Is there somebody who's writing blog posts about how they put it into practice? Maybe it's podcast episodes. It's just
in general, rule of thumb is a substantial post that is not quoting sources correctly and not mentioning other people maybe not your favorite
really,
content piece.
Really good filters. I'll share another experience I had with this. The first time I ran across the North Star metric framework, I hated it. I was like, really? We're going to find one magical metric that everybody in the business pays attention to and nothing else matters? Okay. I don't remember where I read that. I read somebody's really mediocre blog post about the North Star metric. And then I got curious and I was like, where did this come from? And I found the Amplitude white paper.
Yes.
And it turns out the North Star metric is not one metric that everybody pays attention to. It's looking at the heart of the value you create for your customer.
Yeah.
And looking at all the input metrics into that. So it's a set of metrics. And suddenly I was like, oh, I really like this framework.
Yeah.
Right? But if I had stopped at like the mediocre blog post I came across on social media, I would have walked away thinking this framework sucks. And I think this is what motivated this topic for this episode. Like when you're just scrolling through your social media feed and you see something, a lot of people are building their brands off of really superficial critiques of things. Go deeper.
Yeah, go deeper. And it's not only the critique of things. Sometimes it's just like, it's so easy. Most of our books are known to ChatGPT. And so it's super easy for people that do content creation to build upon the ideas that are in these books.
Yeah.
But on the superficial level, that is not helpful at all. So this oversimplification, ripping all the depth of it and just like creating three visual tiles and put it on LinkedIn. So that's why it's another reason why it's important. Go find the source, figure out who's the important people talking about it, adding to the body of work and body of knowledge, and then go read some of their things as well.
It's not just critiques too. I think that's an important thing to highlight because like I see a lot of people writing about opportunity solution trees and they love them, right? They're positive about them. but they still miss the point. Like they're using an opportunity solution tree and they're not interviewing customers and they don't have an outcome. And so it's like, if that's your introduction to the opportunity solution tree, you miss the whole point of an opportunity solution tree, right? So it could, there are a lot of people trying to build their brand by critiquing popular things, but there's also a lot of people that are like sharing very surface level experience with something positively, but it's still not going to be the best place to learn about that thing.
Yeah, indeed. So everybody needs to go dig a bit deeper.
I think what's nice is that like most companies, most bloggers, most podcasters, most authors, like where these ideas are originating from, there's a lot of material to dig into. And you can choose your format. You could listen to a podcast episode. You could read a deeper blog post. You could go pick up the book.
Get like, abstracts.
It's never been easier to go to the source. And you don't even have to do the research. You can just ask ChatGPT, like, who are the top three people I should read about OKRs? And you're done.
Yeah.
In fact, I kind of want to do that right now and see who it suggests. Right? Like, it's...
Can you? The audience is waiting with me.
All right. Let's go ask ChatGPT.
If that works, Teresa. Yeah, so that's definitely a thing. And who's quoting whom? So this is, by the way, how you build this list of people that you want to follow on LinkedIn. So if you read something interesting, then figure out who are the first few people talking about it and then follow those folks to see what they do and share today. So I think that's another good one. What is it saying?
It's actually quite bad. I said, who are the top three people I should ask about OKRs? And it thought I meant about like the OKRs at my company. So it's telling me my department head or my chief of staff. So I'm going to try again.
So try. Yeah. You're good in prompt engineering. You can do this, Teresa.
Okay. I'm changing my prompt to, I want to learn more about the OKR concept. Who are the top three people writing about this topic?
Yeah.
John Doerr. Christina Woodkey. And Rick Clow. Have you heard of Rick Clow?
Never.
Me neither. Sorry, Rick.
Sorry, but maybe
He helps spread OKR best practices across Google. Oh.
Okay. Legit.
Maybe I just don't know the name. He also spread OKR Google Doc templates and is behind the Startup Lab OKR video. I wonder if that's that silly football video that we've all seen. How Google sets goals. Okay, it is. Okay, so I didn't know his name, but I know his work. So these are actually three really good sources.
Good. Kinda. So people, now you know how it's done.
Yeah. All right, it's that simple.
And by the way, books have usually a lot of sources in there as well.
Also, if they don't read that book.
Indeed. It's like at university. If there are no sources quoted, don't read that book.
I know. Like, sometimes we record these episodes and I'm like, how do people not already know this? And I think what's sad is we do already know this. We just don't always remember to do it.
And social media made us forgetting it.
I think with the growth, especially of LinkedIn being like the place people build their brand, it's just more and more and more important to check your sources.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of garbage out there.
And it's a lot of lifetime wasted to garbage content otherwise.
Yeah, that's kind of overwhelmingly sad, but we can't end on that note. Petra, why don't we end with this? Who are some of your favorite original sources?
Ooh, that's
good. Let's give out some kudos.
Kudos. So I always love to follow our friend John Cutler.
Yeah, John's great.
Because he just like shares whatever's on top of his mind. It's not curated. It's just like the topic of the day. But it always sparks some good, this is actually a topic that I haven't thought about in a while. Maybe I should. So that's definitely, he's definitely somebody that I follow. Then I'm a big fan of bringing diverser perspectives to my practice, and I therefore currently listen a lot to the Scandinavian Product Podcast. Shout out to Afonso. Because he's inviting a lot of guests from the Nordics. Companies that I never heard of oftentimes, but that's why I'm so interested to hear how they're approaching things, what they're doing. They're in a slightly different market oftentimes than my clients are operating in. So that is broadening my horizons. So, and then just today, Ronnie, we put it in the show notes, published a piece on economy and donut economics and how sustainability is always something that should be on top of our considerations when running a business. And that is, for example, a piece heavy on sources, heavy on quotes from other people, heavy on recommendations for follow-up materials. So I really love that. So that's definitely something that we will include into the show notes. That's just what on top of my mind right now.
Yeah, that's
yours,
great.
Yours, Teresa?
One that comes to mind right away is Shane Parrish's Farnham Street. So what I like about that blog, his tagline is something like the best of what we already know. And he blogs about original sources, right? Like, and so I learn about a lot of new material from him, which is really great. And it's really broad. Nice. So he really digs in on like decision making and critical thinking. And so it's not product specific, but it's all very applicable to product. I really love reading about, like, somebody is working in a company and is just talking about their experience at that company. These are a little harder to find, right? Because they're not going to be your regular bloggers because I don't have a blog.
Yeah.
But the social media posts where people don't say, like the posts that I scroll past every time, product managers, dot, dot, dot. Like, I don't want to read the generalized posts about what we all do. We don't all do anything the same. We all do everything differently. I don't really care. Right. So I skip over all those generalized posts. I really like the ones that are like, I just released this feature. I want to tell you about all the messiness involved. This is what I love about John's writing. It's not clean. It's a hot mess. And that's the point. His blog is called The Beautiful Mess. Right. And it's just very like personal and real. It brings the humans back to social media and they're just telling their story about what they did and what they learned and why. Sometimes this gets packaged in the like what I learned in my first 8 years being a product manager. I don't always love those posts because they're too generalized. Like I want like tell me
and
like
all of us had too many of those.
Yeah. And I'm actually trying really hard to write more of these posts. Like here's what I did today and here's what I'm learning from it. Because I want to encourage more people to share what is that lived experience. Like what you did an interview today, what was hard? What went well? What'd you learn? What surprised you? So I try to look for those. It's hard to give you a, like, read this blog because they're not bloggers. They're just product people doing the work.
Yeah. And it's Francesca did that when she was still at Hamnet, for example, following her. But she's not anymore. Sorry, people. But she was one of the rare ones who share what they were actually doing. Some of the Google folks have been sharing in the past a lot about what they're doing. That's where the Heart framework came from, right?
Yeah.
That's rare. You, by the way, find them by looking at conference speaker lists where the practitioners are oftentimes present. So, for example, at Product at Heart, we aim for 1/3 of thought leaders / coaches and 2/3 of practitioners. So on the Product at Heart video archive, you will find names of people that are practitioners or have been by the time they were giving the talk. So that is maybe a tip how you find some practitioners to follow.
Some company blogs are good at this too. Mm-hmm. Some, not a lot, but some are, right? Like, I'm trying to think of who off the top of my head. The Mind the Product blog used to be great at this. I think since Pendo bought Mind the Product, the blog focus has changed quite a bit.
Yes, indeed.
But like old Mind the Product articles, there's a lot of really good content in there around this. Intercom, like their blog covers a lot of stuff, but I think one of their series is like, here's what I do in my job. Figma, the Figma blog. again, it covers a lot of range, but they occasionally have articles like this.
Amplitude amazing. I haven't checked in a while.
Yep. Yeah. So companies that are thoughtful about product practice, I think they tend to have good blog posts where people are sharing like boots on the ground stories and experiences.
Yeah, I saw a few good things coming out of Atlassian recently as well. Good resources.
All right.
And my favorite newsletter, maybe?
Let's hear it.
What is it called? Beauty Shot is the name of the newsletter. I know, horrible name, but Tim Leberecht and the team of House of Beautiful Business are writing it. It's highly philosophical, but it's always about the economy.
I saw you mention this on LinkedIn. I have it on my list to go look up. I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah, it's a tough read.
Maybe I'll skip it then. I'm looking for challenging to read.
Yeah, not challenging.
Not depressing to read.
No, it's not depressing. No, it's dense and it's challenging. It's House of Beautiful Business. So they always strive for beauty.
I don't need more depressing, but I will intellectual
don't worry.
Any day of the
they
week.
Add beauty to your life.
I like that. I'm going to check them out as soon as we hit stop record.
Here's the positive note we wanted to end on. Thank you, Teresa.
Thanks, Petra.